This episode of Stick Like Glue Radio is brought to you by Jim Palmer's Stop Waiting For It to Get Easier Mastermind and Coaching Programs. Now is the time to create your dream business, and Jim Palmer is the perfect coach to help you get that done. Jim offers three different coaching programs, and as a member of his mastermind group, you'll also benefit from the advice, wisdom, and inspiration of other successful entrepreneurs. Learn more about Jim's mastermind and coaching programs at www.thenewsletterguru.com/coaching. www.thenewsletterguru.com/coaching. And get started building your dream business today. That's www.thenewsletterguru.com/coaching.
Hi, I'm Bob Berg, co-author of The Go-Giver and author of Adversaries Into Allies, and you're listening to Stick Like Glue Radio.
Welcome to Stick Like Glue Radio, the only podcast dedicated to helping you create an everlasting bond with your customers so they stay longer, spend more, and refer more. Marketing and business building expert Jim Palmer, known internationally as the Newsletter Guru, is a serial entrepreneur, author, speaker, and coach to other entrepreneurs. Jim is the host of Newsletter Guru TV, a weekly web TV show featuring Jim's unique brand of smart marketing and business building advice. Check it out today at www.newsletterguru.tv. Please welcome your host of Stick Like Glue Radio, Jim Palmer.
Well, hello there, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Stick Like Glue Radio. This is the only podcast dedicated to helping you create an everlasting bond with your customers so they stay longer, spend more, and refer more, and those are all great things in your business. I am your host, Jim Palmer, your dream business coach. I'm committed to helping you build a more profitable business fast. I'm really excited, very excited about this week's show because my special guest is Joan Sotkin. And let me tell you a little bit about Joan. She is an author, coach, and a businesswoman who has literally helped thousands of people understand why they do what they do with their money and how to alter their financial behaviors. She's the founder of the popular website prosperityplace.com, and her book, Build Your Money Muscles, 9 Simple Exercises for Improving Your Relationship with Money, won 2 national awards. I love the title, by the way. Her passion is helping people improve their relationship with money and themselves. This is going to be an awesome call because I love this topic. Hey, Joan, thanks so much for being my guest on Stick Like Glue Radio this week. How are you?
Terrific. It's great to be here with you.
Well, I read your book. I love the title, but really the topic itself is so important. You know, as right before we went live, I was sharing with you at my Dream Business Academy. I take a whole hour and talk about money and how people talk about it, how they feel about it, how they get too emotional about it, and it really tends to hold them back. You know, the growth of their business, whether they're going to make good investments in themselves and things like that. So I'm really excited to pick your brain a little bit here. I understand it was your personal experience that led you to, you know, look for some of the internal factors that affect people's finances. Can you share a little bit about your backstory with us?
Sure. Well, this is back in the 1970s. I had 2 millionaire brothers, and I could barely rub 2 pennies together. I kept asking myself, why? I'm just as smart as they are. Why have they chosen to create what they did, and I can barely function? And so I started really looking into it. I spent a lot of time meditating. At one point, I gave everything I owned away to kind of just listen to that inner voice and find out who I was and what I needed to do. And that was the beginning of a really long journey. I went to 12-step programs at Debtors Anonymous. I learned that there was a connection between money and emotions. And I learned through those programs how to express emotions publicly, which was not an easy thing to do. And it just became my lifelong study. And I began to see, it was like so obvious to me, when people had money problems, what was going on and how it related to their family of origin issues. And I couldn't understand why other people didn't see this. This was like 30 years ago. And It's really great that people are finally getting on to the idea of emotions and money. And the other thing I've seen along the way is that business owners often don't have a really good relationship with money when they're, the whole point of the business is to make money. And it makes no sense that they don't know how to take care of it, and don't know who they are in relationship to it, and yet it's the one of the core pieces of their business.
Joan, I didn't know there was a 12-step program like that. I obviously know about for drugs and gambling and alcohol, but I didn't know there was one to actually help you with money. That was a new one for me.
Well, when I joined Debtors Anonymous, it was first getting started, and now it's all over the place. That and the other one that I'm a big fan of is Codependents Anonymous, because the two issues are very much connected. But I came from a debting background. My father was a debtor. He'd buy a boat or a car, and my mother would go, "Bruce," you know. So she was the co-conspirator, and I learned how to debt rather than how to save. My parents never had a savings account. So a lot of what we learn about money comes from our family background. And my father went bankrupt. I had this very successful business where I was bringing in today's money, $50,000 a month, and wound up going bankrupt because I knew how to spend it. I had no idea how to manage cash flow. Which is why that's one of the things that when I work with people, and in my book, there's two parts to it. There's the internal and the external. Because if you don't, you can do all the internal work with your thoughts, beliefs, emotions, but if you don't learn how to count your money, you're going to miss something and you're not going to be able to do well with it.
Yeah, one of the things I teach, by the way, I have this sign up on the wall at my live event. I go, "Gross is for vanity, net is for sanity." You know, some people, they talk about, "Oh, I have a $1 million business." In the end, they're barely making $9,000 because they spend it all or they make bad decisions. So there's bragging rights, but then what are you actually, you know, keeping so you can either reinvest or save or whatever? Joan, why is it that you think some people can make a lot of money and others basically seem to stay in the same position, just struggling week to week?
Well, a lot of it has to do with beliefs, what you believe you're capable of doing or what you deserve. And a lot of that goes back to your self-image. Now, some people who make a lot of money have just as low a self-image as people who don't make a lot of money. They're just trying to prove themselves all the time, and so they become workaholics, and they make a lot of money. To me, the goal is to be able to be financially comfortable and emotionally comfortable at the same time. And the way people think, what they believe, and the feelings. If, you know, I was brought up in a family where boys had more value than girls, and the fact that my father called me Jonathan the first 10 years of my life didn't help any. So I got that message. And so my sense was, and then my mother used to teach me, never overshadow the men in your life. That was one of her lessons. And so I had this training not to equal my brothers. And that became very ingrained in me. So when you're looking at why is that person making money and I'm not, well, just in that very statement, you're saying to yourself, why am I not good enough? And that piece of not being good enough is so prevalent. I find it particularly with men and women. Men often have fathers who never told them they were doing a good job and were constantly criticizing them. And that plays out in our ability to create what we need to support ourselves.
I'm curious about something. I'm sure you remember the movie The Secret,
yes.
Which basically said change your thoughts, you know, change your life around money. Do you agree with that message in the book, or what do you think?
It pushes a whole lot of buttons for me.
Okay. Do tell.
I've been hanging around the New Thought community for a really long time. My big business was a crystal business. I was the first person to market crystals and minerals for healing and meditation nationwide. And I had a line of stones called Jones Stones that were in 600 stores. So I know that community. And there is so much fantasy thinking. And yes, you have to change your thoughts. But if you don't know how to deal with money, if you don't have a container to put it in, it's just not going to happen and it's not going to last. Plus the fact, in my book, I talk about something I call the identity factor, which is something that kicks in any time you significantly change major things in your life, because you've got a self-concept, and when something changes that threatens that self-concept, you're going to go back to what you were before. So let's say you've been earning $50,000 a year, and suddenly and this is exactly what happened to me with the crystal business, and suddenly you're making lots of money. Well, if having that money does not fit your self-concept, you're going to do whatever you can to make it go away, because it doesn't feel like you. And these are things that people rarely look at when they're asking, why is my money going up and down? Why am I having trouble charging what I really want to charge for what I'm doing? These emotional issues that are formed in early childhood are the threads that are affecting the fabric of your life that you're weaving.
Wow. Wow. Holy smokes. You know, I do a lot of different interviews. I should be laying on the couch. This is some heavy stuff we're talking about.
Well, here's the deal. We all have emotions. And all of us have emotions that begin before we're even born. Because, you know, emotions don't happen in our head. They happen when neuropeptides attach themselves to receptors in our cells. They're actually molecules. Candice Pert has a book called Molecules of Emotion. And so we have these molecules of emotion that move around our system. And when your mother, when you're in utero, you're getting your mother's emotions. And when you're first born, you don't have any verbal skills. You're just kind of this vessel that's picking up everything around you. And so you learn your basic emotions from your environment. And if you're brought up in a family where there's any kind of abuse or neglect, and that can just be emotional, any kind of abuse or neglect, or there was an alcoholic parent, or the mother doesn't bond with the child in the first few days the way the child needs, that actually affects your money, because the craving for money, this to me is a really important point, when you crave money, and so many people do, it's exactly the same feeling as craving love. So when you're craving money, when you're saying, why can't I get the money that I need, you're really saying, why can't I get the love that I need? And when you start talking about your money and wondering about your, you know, the why of your money, when you take the word money out of it and say, well, you know, what am I feeling? When did I feel this before? And to understand that these feelings are just habits. It's not that they're you, they're habits. They're a song you've learned to sing. And once you recognize what these feelings are and you let them yourself really feel them, then you can say, well, what would I rather be feeling? And you teach yourself how to feel something else. I don't think it requires long-term therapy. There are a lot of processes now, like emotional freedom technique and Be Set Free Fast, and the spiritual technology, which is a new one that's coming out of Bulgaria, that allow you to quickly let go of the emotional charge that you're carrying with you. And then you can learn to respond differently to familiar stimuli. Because those responses, when you're in a situation, the situation is neutral. How you respond to that situation comes from these habits. And once you recognize your response, then you can say, okay, how would I rather respond? What would make more sense? What would be more productive?
Joan, why is it that you think money is such an emotional experience for people? I mean, if people have debt, I mean, whether they have $100 of credit card debt, maybe they, you know, have a lot more than that. Maybe they have no debt and they get a lot of money and they're not comfortable with it. Why is it so emotional? I mean, is it really just based on the upbringing you just mentioned, you know, a lot from your parents and your environment as a kid?
Yes and no.
Okay.
We have emotions by their nature need to be expressed. John Bradshaw, who is one of the gurus from way back when, used to call them energy in motion, emotion. And when they're not expressed, these molecules get all stuck in your body, and they have to find a way of expression. So we create situations that allow us to express those emotions. And money, which is a very non-emotional, it's just pieces of paper and numbers that we move around, but because we deal with it every day, it gives us the opportunity to act out these emotions. For example, when people look at their bank balance, a lot of people I talk to don't go, oh, wow, look what I've got. They go, oh, look what I've got, and I should have more. Someone my age should be making more. I'm not reaching my potential. All these words come into their head when they're just looking at a number, a bunch of numbers. And that number is totally neutral. And so you bring the shame, the anger, the deprivation, all these things that are part of your identity, you bring them to this interaction with your financial software when it doesn't require emotion, but that's how we deal with it. When you hear about the stock market, they say that the basis of trading is fear and greed. We're emotional beings. We buy things emotionally. Everything we do has this emotional base. I believe that our emotions are the bridge between our internal and external world, and it's our emotions that inform our behaviors. So money is just something we deal with every day, and in our society, people don't talk about money. It's like the secret. They don't talk about their sex lives, they don't talk about their money. And the two things really are quite similar because they're both about dealing with your personal energy. So when you are emotional about money, if you understand that it's not about the money, about something else, then you can look at that something else and figure out how to change it if it's uncomfortable for you.
Can you give me, I want to ask you what people can do to make a change to how they feel about, you know, their relationship with money, their emotional relationship. So we're starting down less than 9 minutes on the show, and I got a couple more questions. So in a brief answer, Joan, what can people do to change their emotional relationship with money?
Understand their emotional relationship with themselves, because how you deal with money is how you deal with your relationship with yourself and others. Money is just a symbol of relationship. And so when you feel uncomfortable with your money, it's because you feel uncomfortable with yourself. And one of the things you can do in the external world is to learn how to manage your money. It's very empowering, and it gives you a sense of taking care of yourself. That was a quick answer.
That was a very quick answer. Thank you.
Yeah.
So let's focusing your thoughts and emotions to improve your finances, I mean, is that really the key? Let me ask you this. Do you work with folks to help them get their finances in order, or are you more kind of on the mindset piece of it?
Both.
Oh, okay.
I have clients where we do desk sharing, and when they start setting up their QuickBooks or Quicken, and I sit there with them and help them create the categories, and I help them learn how to count their money. Money goes to people who love and take care of it just like people, and the thing that money loves best is to be counted. Oh, she's counting me. I think I'll get my friends. So it's a matter of learning how to manage that cash flow. I'm very left brain when it comes to that. But at the same time, money can be this mechanism for understanding yourself if you understand that you're just using money as a mechanism through which to feel these feelings. So it's a great base for personal growth and development.
Hmm.
And when I work with clients, we do both things. It's because
okay.
I don't think you can separate the two, and always amazes me that business coaches don't deal with this, because you can't have a successful business if you have a failure identity. And if you don't recognize the difference between a success identity and a failure identity, all the business knowledge in the world is not going to make your business a success.
That's very true. How can you tell which emotions are you're acting through money? Like, how do you know what's just kind of a mindset or a success mindset or entitlement, or you know, or is money just kind of the root of all these things?
Well, no, the emotions are the root. The money's just the mechanism. And I work with a lot of men who don't have a big feeling vocabulary. So what I teach people to do is when you're doing something with your money, like you're opening a bill or looking at your bank balance, to close your eyes and see if you can feel the kinesthetic experience of the emotion in your body. Because, as I said, emotions don't happen in your head. They happen in your body. And developing emotional awareness is not a skill of putting words on your emotion. It's recognizing the kinesthetic experience in your body of that emotion. And then to express that emotion, this is so simple. You just make the sound of the emotion. Now, for a lot of people, that sound comes out like a little tiny sound in the beginning. But the idea is to really feel that feeling and express it with sound. It can get really loud. Car is a good place to do this, or to yell into a towel. And that's all you have to know. It doesn't have to be any more complicated than that. In my book, I outline the five main feelings that people act out to their money, but you don't have to have the words to recognize that. You just have to recognize the kinesthetic experience in your body, and then you're feeling the feeling.
I think the last question I want to ask you, Joan, is, you know, a lot of people are scared because of the financial conditions in the country, and, you know, they tie so much of what they think they should be doing or how they should be acting, whether they're investing in marketing, whatever, they tie it all to the economy. You know, I'm saying that in quotes here, the economy. Well, you know, for the people who are scared because of the current financial condition or financial health of our country, what advice can you give them?
Well, first of all, if you're afraid of what's going to happen in the future, then you're focused on the future, not on the present. Ask yourself, what is my situation today? Do I have enough to eat? Do I have a place to stay? That's number one, to learn how to be present in the now. It takes a while to learn this, but to get your mind out of the future. We're hardwired to look for danger. And as soon as you're in that danger place, the hormones come out, the adrenaline, and it's a neurological fact that when you're in fear, you get stupid. So you can't make very good decisions. So it's a matter of, again, training yourself to stay in the present, to get out of the fear, and to take action. If you're afraid of something that's going to happen, you say to yourself, well, if that happens, what would I do? Rather than just being in this, oh, my God, this is happening to me, I'm a victim place, what can I do to change perhaps where I am today to protect myself against whatever might come in the future? But remember, the future, when you have thoughts about the future, you're making up a story, and you have as much right to make up a good story as a bad story.
That's a good there. Oh, man. So, Joan, how can people learn more about you and get a copy of your book? What's a good website?
The best place is prosperityplace.com. I have a podcast, The Prosperity Show, that's on Prosperity Place or on iTunes and Stitcher and all the directories. And this is a pretty big topic, and it's something that most people haven't looked at. So start at Prosperity Place. There's a bunch of free materials, and if you get the free materials, you'll also get on my newsletter, and I write articles, I do webinars. So start at prosperityplace.com.
Awesome. Joan, thank you so much. It's a pleasure to finally connect with you, and I wish you all kind of success, and especially how you're helping people. Thank you very much.
You're welcome, and thanks for having me on your show.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Hey, folks, that wraps up this very special episode of Stick Like Glue Radio with Joan Sotkin. Stick Like Glue Radio is the only podcast dedicated to helping you create an everlasting bond with your customers so they stay longer, spend more, and refer more. I am your host, Jim Palmer, your dream business coach, and I'm committed to helping you build a more profitable business faster. Watch for another great episode of Stick Like Glue Radio next week. And until then, keep taking action, keep moving forward, and don't ever, ever, ever give up. Hey, now go out there and do something nice for somebody today. Take care, everybody.
You've been listening to Stick Like Glue Radio, the only podcast dedicated to helping you create an everlasting bond with your customers so they stay longer, spend more, and refer more. Stick Like Glue Radio features Jim Palmer's unique brand of smart marketing and business building advice for action-oriented entrepreneurs. To make sure you don't miss a single profit-boosting show, subscribe to this podcast at www.getjimpalmer.com. If you know other entrepreneurs looking for the fastest way to higher profits in their business, please tell them about the Stick Like Glue Radio podcast. Now go and implement what you've learned and boost your profits. See you next week for more Stick Like Glue Radio.